Where's this music coming from?
Is it ringtone? Oh, you're probably on hold on ringtone.
Yeah, it's like smooth jazz.
Hi.
Hey, that's even better. No jazz.
No jazz. What's your problem with jazz?
No, I like jazz. I just think that sometimes I don't want to be on hold and that feeling like I need to be entertained, you know? I can't just have silence.
Yeah, I get that. Why are you in the studio? Why are you in the office?
Well, no one is in the office right now, and I need to catch up on work because it's been a crazy week. And, you know, you can't stay home all the time.
But well, isn't that exactly what we're supposed to do?
No, you're supposed to stay home definitely if you're sick. And then outside of that, you're supposed to stay home as much as possible, but you also need to stay sane.
Right.
This could go on for a long time. It is expected to be months of this. And so we can't stay home constantly. And part of being healthy is having some semblance of connection and activity in your life.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
How am I doing?
Are you holding up?
I'm totally fine.
Okay, good.
The effects of this situation on me are 100% psychological at this point. So I'm completely fine, just like confused and anxious. How about you?
You get your stuff at the store?
Yes. Okay, Jim, it was a great shopping list. So I went, I got everything you said to get. The CVS is completely out of all like antiviral cleaning products and hand sanitizer and everything.
Yeah.
And they're out of toilet paper.
Yeah, I've been hearing that the paper goods are going to be a short link in the supply chain. You know, people are making fun of people for stocking up on toilet paper, but if any places run out of it for any permanent length, the joke is going to be on them.
Right. And then the other thing is, I went to three stores looking for toilet paper. None of them had them, but I did find at the hardware store Purell.
Really? At the hardware store?
I found Purell and Lysol wipes, both of which are currently going for about $20 a pop.
No way.
Yes.
They're price gouging on that right now, huh?
Yeah.
There's been some stories about people stocking up and trying to sell it on Amazon too and stuff, and that is just so unethical right now.
Anyway, so how are you?
Fine. Just trying to keep up with everything as fast as I can. There was a lot of legislative activity last night. That is good for the most
part. What happened?
Well, we're just sort of finally starting to, as a country, take it seriously.
Yeah.
And the House passed this measure by a lot, by a big bipartisan majority that would include what I have been saying we need for quite some time, which is some sort of paid sick leave policy. You know, the people who are out working hourly jobs need to know. Like right away, this is just purely as a public health measure that they can stay home, you know, tomorrow when they get sick.
What's the mechanism by which they're going to get paid, though?
I'm not certain exactly the logistics of it, but at least right now, you know, in Brooklyn, like in lots of other places, you can't just miss even a couple days of work and still make rent. And people need to know that that is in place or else people will just keep working right through the symptoms.
But how are they going to, like, they'll need the money as soon as they quit working. So,
right. You know, I mean, ideally these transfers are as low barrier as possible. You don't want someone to have to go get a doctor's approval and then wait a month and all that. It's just kind of like, yeah, you just say it, and it's kind of an honor system right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that seems good.
Yeah. So anyway, it was good. You're seeing some bipartisan momentum and just like we're ramping up testing, and there's some public-private agreement that so there's going to be testing in places like CVS parking lots and in Walmarts. This is not going to happen overnight or as quickly as it should have, but it's going to be like at some point, at least, people will be able to go get tested.
Yeah. So the president gave a press conference last night. I mean, what should I know about it?
Yeah. Well, they were talking in part about that, this idea of testing and who needs to get tested. And there is a lot of ambiguity about that because basically we're rationing them in a way that the U.S. is not used to rationing healthcare in this way. Ideally, we would be testing really widely. And as it is right now, we're having to distribute the tests to based on like who needs them. And
so why don't we have, do we not have enough tests? What's yeah. the, why don't, it seems like other countries have plenty of tests, right? Or no?
Yeah, we have been slow to ramp up our testing capacity. And
why?
That's not a simple question. I think it starts with, we have a small FDA and CDC relative to what they could have been. We have eliminated some infrastructure that would have helped us get on this faster. Mm-hmm. The existing infrastructure didn't get into place quickly enough. There was top-down messaging about how we had so few cases and we didn't, you know, the low case number was seen as good instead of saying, you know, we need to go find these cases. So right. we're way behind the ball. And you're seeing just right now a ton of state health departments and private companies and now the federal government coming together to make it start to happen. But the fact is, it's not going to solve our problem and it's not going to be up to the ideal capacity for a few more weeks, it sounds like.
We're too late.
I mean, well, we're just sort of on starting to discover how bad the spread is. And that's why things are just shutting down because we can't. If we had a real good testing capacity, we could be like, well, we could know, we could be real strategic about what we need to shut down and what we don't and who can do what and how long things need to last instead of these sort of blanket, like all schools in the whole state are just going to shut down or all
travel. So because
travel.
We don't have any... Because we don't have enough information, because we haven't moved fast enough on testing, our only option is to basically shut lots of things down because we have no idea where it is. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not quite our only option, but
yeah.
it is what when you
the
have
best option?
When you have so little data and you have these projections for how bad it could potentially get, everyone's incentive at every level is to play it safe right now. And ideally, in the not too distant future, we'll be able to have a better evidence base for how to minimize risk without just blanketly telling everyone to stay home. That's not a realistic strategy either, because you create all kinds of other problems, obviously, when you do that.
Yeah. So how bad is it going to get? Like, can you give me some sense of the scale of the problem right now?
Yeah. Well, we're just choosing which problem we want to avoid most. So if we all just stayed home, everyone didn't leave their house at all, and we closed all the schools and all businesses and all transport, we would slow this down and there wouldn't be surges in numbers that would overwhelm the hospitals. But, you know, that's not actually something we can do. So the other end of the spectrum would be to just keep everything open, and then we would definitely overwhelm our healthcare system and start rationing care about who gets to go in ICUs and who gets to go, who doesn't. And if we did that, the models say that we would have 40 to 70% of the country be infected. And at the current understanding of case fatality rate, which might even increase if we overwhelm our healthcare system and can't take care of people who could have been taken care of, you're looking at more than a million deaths. So that's the worst case death rate. Over the course of the next year or so. Yeah. So then we're kind of going to be operating in a spectrum in there where we try to not have every single business in the country, like, go out of business and have society shut down and have kids not get to go to school and all that, while also not having, you know, hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths. Sorry, this is obviously grim, but like, you know, there's no...
No, we need to talk about it. It's just so... I've been running around like crazy for the last week, and I think this is my first day where I'm just actually sitting with it, and it's just I don't know. I know I'm behind to these feelings, but this is really, really sad.
It really is. It's so sad to walk around New York and see see restaurants that are empty with staff just kind of sitting around waiting for someone to come in, and see shops that are preemptively closed, and just, it's like these are places that can survive through, you know, a bad snowstorm and be closed for a few days, but they won't last long if this keeps up. But I'm also not saying people should be going out and living their normal lives, but if you even... I know places are sort of spreading out tables, and exercise classes are having people move further apart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just the thing, is you have to be strategic about these decisions. You can't just shut down the whole city immediately and err too heavily on the side of saving lives and risk shutting everything down. I guess that sounds reasonable for now, but especially if you're a high-risk person, I would definitely stay home as much as possible.
And who are high-risk people?
This is so hard. It really is, because if we have a really catastrophic surge here, we will, in retrospect, be like, why did we not just shut down the whole city?
Right.
You know? I'm basically just going around asking everyone, how is business? How's work for you? How scared are you? What are you going to do? And there's so much uncertainty and it's mainly around finances right now. Like, people are scared of getting sick, yeah, but they're much more scared that they're going to lose their job and they're not going to be able to make rent in like places like this. So... it's total double-edged sword. So, so many places would close down. Like, people would have to leave the city in very short order, and it would change everything around here. So the economic stimulus that's going to be needed around here to allow for such a shutdown would be massive.
Mm-hmm. But if we don't shut stuff down, what happens?
Yeah, that's where you get into the worst case scenario. And if a lot of people get sick at once, so say around half the population is going to get sick. If you have everyone get sick at once versus over the course of a year, then you have the capacity, ideally, to treat everyone who you can treat. There are some people who die of this no matter, even if they have the best medical care. We can't save them. But we want to make sure that everybody who could be treated and saved and get through this as well as possible is able to and has the support to do that. And we don't want a situation where we have people lining out the rooms at the emergency department or sitting on the sidewalk with oxygen masks on. It could get really grim if we have too many people getting really sick at the same time. And then if the healthcare workers get sick too, and the workforce is diminished in capacity, it could be sort of disaster level type rationing of care that we are not at all tolerant of in this country, and it would be catastrophic. And then obviously the businesses and everything go out of business in the same way they would have if we had just preemptively shut them down. And then you have, worst case scenario, you have the economic damage and the loss of life, and you could have just mitigated that by taking the hit up front. Sorry, this is it's grim. I think we need to think about it though, like I mean, and people are, that if you could, if you're talking about a potential death rate of somewhere between 500,000 and a million and a half, you know, you're talking about people making sacrifices to save a million lives. And I think that's an inspiring thing to feel like you're a part of.
Jim, just as a, on a personal note, I know you as a very buoyant and funny person. And
thank you.
I'm not saying all your jokes are good. I'm not saying all your jokes are good. Some of them are bad.
I know.
Just to be clear. However, you seem worried. Like, I've never heard you talk like this, and that is concerning to me.
Yeah. I'm hearing that from a lot of people right now.
You're like always the person to make the situation lighter and less serious. And you're doing the opposite of that right now, which is to me an indication that this is like, that's what's actually scaring me most.
Really?
Is your
I'm sorry.
Tone of voice.
No, which I'm, is, hearing I'm, that. I'm hearing yeah. that from other people too.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. It just like.
There's a lot to be happy about right now. I've been really heartened by everything I've seen, a lot of what I've seen over the last week with a lot of like very wealthy, powerful institutions and companies, you know, shutting things down. And, you know, NBA, March Madness, South by Southwest, now mm-hmm. Coachella, all these things for whatever reason. I mean, there's a mix of need and incentives and all that, but everyone's taking a hit here. No one mm-hmm. wanted to have to do that. And
right.
we are, and it will save lives. And so good things are already happening. People are contributing to the cause and feeling like they need to prepare and take it seriously right now in a way that 2 weeks ago was, there was nothing like that. So it's,
yeah.
a lot has happened. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I'm not asking you to provide some sort of positive note. I'm just noting that the way I know this is really serious is that you're not making dumb jokes right now.
I know. I'm also just, yeah, kind of exhausted. But you think about it. If you spend too much time in this headspace, you it's hard to be too funny
right.
about
is
it,
the,
it.
But is this is a reality, right?
Well, yeah. It's a sort of... sort of like a natural disaster that we just, it's there is inevitable damage in one direction or another, and we have to just choose which directions we lean toward right now. But coming days and weeks should inform a lot about how well the current level of social distancing and shutdown is working mm-hmm. versus whether we need to be much more aggressive. Or, mm-hmm. Or we can keep this up, or could potentially do even less. I don't know. We'll know a lot more very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not going to be like this state of uncertainty is. I think what is making me really anxious and making a lot of other people anxious. And the more certainty we can have with clear guidelines and a sense that like you're going to be okay, there are systems in place to take care of you and the people you love, and you might get sick, but you know, there's not going to be any senseless like lack of care for you. If you get sick, everything will be done to help you that is possible. And I think
wait, are you saying that is a reality right now, or
not right now, but we're rapidly moving towards it,
mm-hmm.
and like everyone understands, you know, yeah, people get sick and die, and that when it becomes really, really scary is the feeling like you wouldn't have anyone to help take care of you or a place to go, or a system wouldn't
right.
be able to have a hospital bed for you. And that
right.
is the stuff that we can prevent, and we're moving rapidly to mobilize all resources to make sure that happens, and that will be
we
a
are.
Lot less scary
we
for
are.
People.
Like, we as a country are doing that.
We're just kicking into that prep mode now.
So yeah. late, but we are doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, ideally, this is something that would have started decades ago, where you would... And
yeah, where we'd have, like, a healthcare system that was able to take care of people.
Yeah, that was just better equipped for this mm-hmm. sort of event, which people have been predicting for a long time, at least like the epidemiologists who study infectious disease outbreaks. This is one of the worst case scenarios, but mm-hmm. it's been modeled, it's been planned for. It's been planned for academically as far as mm-hmm. whether the warnings were heeded mm-hmm. to various degrees, they were not. But this is going to change everything. This will be a wake-up call, you know, mm-hmm. for our capacity for preparation in the future, because it's going to cost us a lot more to you know, stem the damage right now than if we had systems to, like, in place to build be like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if people could miss work, you know, what you're hearing right now in Washington is people missing, they're having trouble staffing the hospital for the surge capacity because schools are closed, and so some of the hospital staff have to stay home and take care of their kids. You know, problems like that are like, well, if there was childcare, then you could have the doctors going and doctors and nurses working in the hospitals when they're needed in the hospitals.
This is so enraging.
Yeah. Well, they were, you know, it was midnight last night, and our representatives were voting in an almost unanimous way to do things like funding free testing and funding emergency sick leave payments, which are the sorts of safety net that if they'd been in place earlier would have already stopped or slowed this, and are sort of partial and good, but it's clear that sort of stuff is what's necessary to contain an outbreak like this. And even free testing, even once we have the capacity for it, you know, people who don't have insurance or don't have good insurance are not going to want to risk going to the hospital and having to potentially be in the ICU and going bankrupt due to medical bills or things that insurance companies weren't covering, just because, you know, the test is not the major cost here. The cost is the $500,000 hospital stay that you might incur. And so if we're not covering that, you are still going to have people who don't seek treatment and care.
I'm just being, like, physically overwhelmed by a wave of rage.
No, but that's, you know, I mean, that is why we are in a place to get, we're in a place to get hit really hard by something like this.
It's just upsetting. I don't know what it is. And obviously this isn't new. None of this is new. I guess that maybe that's the feeling I'm having. Like, none of this is new. And that's what's so frustrating.
It's not new. What you're seeing is the private sector too absorbing the cost of this, which you would think, what will be probably eye-opening for a lot of people who own companies, like why are Walmart and CVS having to donate their employees and their space mm-hmm. and everything?
Right.
And
right.
everyone who owns a big company that does give their company, that does give their employees paid sick leave is going to take a big hit. And, mm-hmm. you know, people pay for this. It's not, it's, but we make individuals and corporations pay, and there will probably be reckoning after this about how we want to distribute costs in the future and mm-hmm. how it would be most efficiently distributed. And that's probably through some larger federal systems.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, we'll have time to talk about all this later. Right now, I think people just want to be prepared. And, you know, I think there's a lot you can do to help other people and to make sure people around you are as prepared as possible and that they have toilet paper.
There is no more toilet paper.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I went to 3 stores. I guess I got to go out today on like a treasure hunt for toilet paper.
Yeah, and I know a lot of grocery store shelves are empty in other places, and...
I went to the grocery store yesterday. The whole freezer section was almost stripped clean.
Right, and I asked...
Beans, pasta, like all that stuff is like gone.
But we have a state of national emergency now. There will be funds mobilized. If we have to get, you know, disaster relief level of food distribution to places, ideally we'll be able and equipped to do that.
Wow. I just cannot believe this. I guess everybody has to kind of shift to this different mode of thinking and living. And I'm just undergoing that shift. And it's disorienting, obviously.
I'm sorry. I know.
But, and it's,
yeah.
Don't be sorry.
How I can mean, I be I, of help and not okay. panic?
Well, I think the way that we can be of help to people who may listen to this is actually those practical things that you were talking about. Like, we there's plenty of time to talk about, like, the emotional and philosophical implications of this thing. But what, okay, so just for me personally, what do I do today? I mean, one thing I was thinking about was just kind of like disinfecting my apartment. But I don't know, like, is that something I should do? Does it matter?
Oh.
I guess yeah. just like, what are your tips for like what I should do today?
I think you need to take care of yourself and try to do some things you enjoy, and it's a nice day, and there's we don't have any recommendations to not go out of your house right now, so do that. I was planning to go to the park. I'll run. I think disinfecting is good. It's especially important in shared spaces and high-touch areas. So if people who live with big families, it's going to be especially important to clean countertops and...
I mean, one thing I don't understand is, like, really what the virus is and where it could be.
Sure.
So I'm like, where am I supposed to disinfect?
As we understand right now, it's transmitted through respiratory droplets. It's all it is this little tiny strands of RNA inside of a mm-hmm. protein capsule. And you spew it out when you are in an infectious stage mainly through coughing and sneezing, probably a little bit through just heavy breathing. But mm-hmm. certainly if you're, really in close contact with any person. But then you're also, you're kind of spewing it out in all the surfaces that you are near when you are just living. So on your desktop, if there's a kitchen table, something that people are touching, a lot of remote control, phones, these are the things that around the house are going to be highest likelihood of being
coded. So the reason to clean these things right now is that you could be asymptomatic but have it?
Well, there's evidence of asymptomatic spread, so it's good to be vigilant about that, but obviously...
So even if you don't feel sick,
yeah.
if you live with other people, even if no one in your household feels sick, you need to be doing this.
Yeah, it would be good to pay more attention to this. Now, the shortages in supplies that you mentioned make this also difficult in that maybe mm-hmm. we shouldn't be overdoing and overusing these things. But in an ideal world, yeah, you would be cleaning a lot, the high-touch surfaces, and... I think having a plan too for self-isolation is something that we are really behind the ball on. You mm-hmm. know, most transmission is within households and families, so roommates mm-hmm. and we're just kind of told stay home, and we really will actually need, like, I don't know, especially if you live with parents or if you live with...
Right.
Yeah, that's...
People in high-risk groups. So yeah. Can you tell me really quickly just who are the high-risk groups?
Well... It's just kind of a general state of health. I think it's age and chronic conditions, the function of your immune system. There's not a list of what constitutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just if this, the better health you're in, the more likely you are to do what, to be okay with this. Mm-hmm. And it's not just chronic stuff too. It's temporary. So, you know, whenever possible, the more you can do to, if you are a younger, healthier person, sleep and eat well and try to stay grounded and
right.
try
so
to
exercise. Right, so freaking out about this is not helpful.
It is
the opposite of helpful.
mm-hmm. Kind of a vicious cycle, right?
Yeah.
Like the more nervous you are, the higher risk you're putting yourself mm-hmm. into.
Mm-hmm.
So break out of that if you can. You have to enjoy. You have to do things you enjoy. You have to stay socially connected. You can't just sit there and panic. So
okay.
But Catherine, you know what the most fulfilling thing you can do is possibly.
Well, I don't.
It's.
If I knew that the answer to that question, my life would look different.
It sounds cheesy, but it is reaching out to everyone else and making sure that the people in your life who, everyone has people around them who are higher risk and less able to prepare or less just have less of a sense of urgency, who literally don't have toilet paper or whatever, or didn't think to buy it, and might have to isolate themselves, and you will be the one who can make sure that they bought it. That's a bad example of their preparation, but just talking to older friends and family.
So just make sure everybody you know and love is, is preparing.
It's a great excuse to reach out to people. Whoever, like, you owed them a call or an email or whatever months, years ago, you know, now you can... Now you can say, hey, I just wanted to make sure you're getting through this and not too, you know, everything's okay. If there's anything I can do to help, please, you know, let me know.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, I am going to do that today.
Do it. You'll feel better.
Call everybody.
You'll feel better. Yeah.
Okay.
We're all in this together.
Yeah. We're all in this together, just sort of from afar.
Physically distant, but we're connected in other ways.
Right. All right. Okay. So I have my action plan for today, thanks to you, which is I'm going to disinfect basically all the high touch surfaces of my apartment. And then I'm going to call everyone I know and harangue them into preparation.
Just to know, just check in with them. Say I'm there
for
you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. No,
the main thing
I'm
is this
you.
Is this loneliness.
I'm there for you.
Yeah, I'm there for you.
I'm
want to check in more.
I'm not going to browbeat them into getting supplies.
I'm using this as an opportunity to catch up with you. Yeah.
Right. Right. Got it. Got it.
Also, do you have any toilet paper?
Got it. Hey, yeah, good to catch up. We haven't talked in a while. How's your, like, how much toilet paper do you have right now? Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Okay, perfect. We'll report back.
A grim conversation.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
I really appreciate it. I honestly don't know what I would be doing today if I didn't have your instruction.
Yeah,
so
no,
I appreciate it.
Go outside. Open your windows. Enjoy the
I'll go outside.
Day.
Yeah, yeah. It's spring.
Yeah. Just stay a slightly distance from people. That'll be good.
Okay. Weird times. Thank you. This is really, really helpful. And we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Bye, Catherine.
Okay. Thanks.